for day the Lord's given us. Amen. Praise God. Let's all just stand and we'll get ready to, for prayer this evening as our service open. Ask the Lord just to continue to bless not only those that are here, but all those that are watching on the live feed or at a later date. We just welcome each and every one of you to First Pentecostal here in Villa Rica. Do you have any spoken prayer requests on my right side tonight? Y'all speak up too, and we want, so it'll pick it up a little bit. Miss Lori? Absolutely. Brother Jim, did I see your hand?
Yeah, I've got a cousin that's in ICU in Savannah. He's on life support, and it doesn't look good, but I pray for him and his family.
Absolutely. Miss Tabitha, I know I saw yours. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else on my right side with the spoken? Brother Billy?
Family of Chuck Thompson, his dad, Charles, passed away last night. He had the virus.
Absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Alrighty. Anyone else? Congregation, I don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Anyone up on the roster?
Just continue to remember my mom.
Your mom? Okay.
Can you remember a brother? His sister Lisa called or actually sent some text requests. Let's remember that situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many for healing, so many situations, and also Brother Adam's friend, his name's Enos, that he's going through, just had surgery and going through a hard time right now. The Lord really needs to touch in that situation. And God knows exactly what it is. And there's so many others. If, you know, and we thank the Lord for the airways and a way for us to get in touch with each other. And if there's anyone watching or anyone out that needs to make sure they get prayer requests to us, please let us know. We'll be glad to pray. And I know as we go now, let's remember the situations that's going on in our country right now too, in our community. Well, let's all just go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, again, we just thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight for this service, dear Lord, we ask that you just let your Holy Spirit just have a free reign amongst each and every one of us. Dear Lord, may we just turn off everything that's just distracting us right now, dear Lord. Any devices, any situations, dear Lord, and we just turn it all over to you. My God, we just love you and praise you. Lord, thank you again for always being there. Dear Lord, we've had prayer requests tonight for cancer, for sickness, for those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, those that are in dire need of your touch, dear Lord, that are going through so many physical situations right now, dear Lord. And we know that you're the healer. You're not only the healer, you're the creator. And, dear Lord, we're just placing it all in your mighty hands. And, dear Lord, for those situations, for those that are that have really the, so much fear in their heart, dear Lord, may they just turn their life over to you and find that peace that only you can provide during this time, dear Lord. We ask for your protection. We ask for you to feed those that are hungry, dear Lord. Put a roof over those heads that, over their heads that are homeless, dear Lord. Clothe those that need clothing, dear Lord. And may we be the church and our outreach, dear Lord, are through our food ministry, through all of our other ministries, dear Lord, that we'll reach out to each and every person that's in need. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for those that are here, whether they're here with the teens or with the young people downstairs. And, dear Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity you've given us to gather together in your name. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, most of y'all know the words, but turn to page 120. Victory in Jesus. That is just so uplifting to me. Just those words alone. There is victory in Jesus. Let's all sing tonight.
Came to glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save.
Praise God. You may be seated if you can. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood, that precious blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for you and I, that only He could stand in the gap for you and I. May we just give Him all the honor and glory. There's no way I can sing that song without smiling. I know y'all hear it all the time, but I just love that. It's, you know, there are victory anthems in a lot of ball games and a lot of situations, schools and activities. But what an anthem to have that we know that there's victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. And while they come forward, I'm just going to go ahead and mention our food closet. Let's please, if at all possible, let's don't forget about our food closet. There's always donations. We accept. They accept so much. A wonderful ministry. Any dry goods, non-perishables. They also have a refrigerator if it need to. But they also accept monetary donations. So that way we can make sure that they stay stocked for all the needs that's going forward right now. And all the other ministries too. Let's just keep each one in our prayer. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, and then Miss Tabitha, and then Miss Jennifer, if you would, please.
Thank you. I'm going to try this, and I did it last night at ladies' meeting, so I'm going to try it again tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Sister Penny, let's do God is my refuge in E flat. I'm so glad that I have somebody to turn to in times of trouble. God is my refuge. Y'all worship as we sing. Especially, it's because he loves me. I mean, that's true. He's good to you because he loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how bad of a person you are or how good of a person you are, he loves everybody the same. And he treats us all the same. We just sometimes don't receive what he has for us. But I love him because he loves me.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Got anybody in the house that loves Jesus?
Amen.
Let him know it. Praise God. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you fine folks out on a Wednesday night. Trey asked me tonight as we were getting ready to church, Papa, can I just stay home and watch it? I said, well, yeah, you could, but wouldn't you like to go to church and be with the rest of the folks? He said, well, which night is it? Is it Nanny's night to do our lesson? I said, yeah, I think it is. I'm going. Nanny got him to come to church, so when maybe the preacher couldn't. So anyway, we hope that they're having a good time downstairs. Amen. A lot of times we kind of forget about our young folks, but they're all downstairs in their lessons and studying about the Lord, and the teenagers are too. So, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. I'm glad that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Wasn't the songs wonderful tonight? The praise and worship, amen, of an almighty God. We just love him so, so very much. I've been having the opportunity this week to tell folks how good I feel in the Lord and how happy I am, amen, to know Jesus Christ. And it's an honor to lift up Jesus, amen. And you have an opportunity because just about everywhere you go, people are going to ask you, how you doing? Or how's everything going? And that's a perfect door to open to begin to tell them about the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I could never, ever tell it enough how wonderful Jesus is to me. Thanks go out to each and every one of you. The ladies, Ida Bell Circle started up again last night. So slowly but surely things are getting back to normal. Hopefully it won't be too long that everything will just be clicking like it was before, and we'll just continue to have corporate worship and worship and fellowship one with another. But tonight, we do want to welcome those that are viewing by live stream tonight. Hope and pray that you're just entertaining the Spirit of the Lord right there in your home. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter number 3, we want to begin with verse number 18. 1 John chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 18. The Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for the opportunity and the desire that you've given us together here tonight. God, I pray that your anointing will go out. Pray, God, that you would just bless each and every one here under the sound of my voice. Those who are live streaming, Father, I pray that you would reach there into their homes and anoint and bless them. Those that are sick, those that are afflicted, Father, I pray that you would continue to bless them with your healing power. Asking you now, humbly, Lord, just to anoint these lips of clay. God, is nothing more than a vessel. In an oracle that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts tonight, that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll be so thankful, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus, if you would, and you may be seated. Amen. Tonight, for a little while, I want to go to this particular chapter and this verse, and from this particular chapter and verse, I want to bring a message entitled, Truth Matters. Truth matters. And by matters, it means that it is significant and it is important. And I would add one word, if I could, it is vital. Man, we need to live by truth. We need to operate in truth. And we need to understand what the truth of God is and his word is. But I am very concerned because we're living in a day and an hour when seemingly truth doesn't carry as much weight as it once did. Now, let me rephrase that. Truth always carries the same amount of weight. People are not as respectful of truth as they once was. There was a time in my life that truth meant something. When man gave you his word, you could stand by that word. There wasn't really any necessary need for it to be written in a contract form and signed in duplicate signatures. Man's handshake and his word was good, and he abided by that word. But we no longer live in that time. We no longer live in that era where that someone can just give you their word and you can bank on it. Not in all cases, but I'm speaking in general here. And it really frustrates me to no end to hear and see the things that are transpiring in the world today. And then people saying, you know, I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. You hear this and you hear that. And you know what I'm talking about. There's been so many stories going out. Sometimes it's okay to do this and not do this. The next time you hear it, it's okay to do that and not do this. But one thing about it, the truth of the Word of God never changes. Amen. From generation to generation, it is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And thank God for the truth. The writer here says, love not only in word or tongue. Or in other words, don't just love with empty and untrue words. So many times the word love is just thrown around without really understanding and knowing the severity or the genuineness of that word love. But love indeed and in truth, in other words, we need to love with the definite acts of love and genuine, sincere truth. It's amazing here that the writer ties these two words or these two subject matters together in love and truth, because I believe that Jesus is love and certainly Jesus is truth. So he's talking here, and I want to bring in some scripture toward the end, if I might, to further reiterate the point of living and abiding in truth. Folks, if we start watering down the truth, we don't have the truth. Man, you can dilute it and dilute it and dilute it. In fact, if you dilute it one time, it's still not the truth. Somebody told me a half-truth is nothing more than a lie. And it means so much to operate in truth, to tell the truth, and certainly to live in the truth. And how many knows that the Word of God is truth? Amen. When Jesus, the words that he spoke while he was on this earth, those are words that we can live by. And certainly, those are words that we can die by. I'm thinking about the truth and how that some people now, that it's not so much that they don't even regard what we think about it. It's they don't even regard what God thinks about it. And let me tell you something, folks. It's a lot better to please God than it is to please man. But I remember years and years ago, and I shared this story so many times, and it's kind of comical, but there's a good point behind it. My dad owned a grocery store for about 16 years. And out in front of his store, I'm going to be telling on my generation a little bit, he had about five or six drink machines. And I'm really going to tell you a little bit of my age now, because some of the drink machines, you could get a drink for a dime. Believe it or not, folks, you could actually put a dime in a drink machine then and mash the button, and you could get a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper or a Coke machine. So we had this one little fellow, and there was a housing project right next to us, and there were some little fellows that lived out there. And these little fellows, really had to watch them with both eyes when they was in the store, because they had a tendency to kind of pick up the penny candy and go to the back of the aisle and kind of eat it, but that's another story. But they had this one little fella, and he was always losing his dime in the drink machines. It didn't matter how many times you checked the drink machines, they seemed to operate really, really well, but he always lost his dime in the drink machines without fail, constantly come in. So we would constantly get the keys and go out there, and we couldn't find the dime. Of course, it probably would drop down and where the other money was to be, but anyway, we would open the door and give him a drink, and my daddy said, you know what, we're just giving him drinks. He's really not losing his money out there. We kind of own to his trick, so we're going to have to catch him. So anyway, but how do you catch a little fellow? He's telling you, oh no, I promise, I lost my dime. I promise I lost my dime. And I said, are you sure? Yes, I lost my dime. So we were going out there, and sure enough, I had the key, and I was just about to stick the key in there. And I said, are you sure you lost your dime? Yes, sir, I lost my dime. I promise I lost my dime. And I stuck the key in, and all, something over me, I just looked up and I said, Jesus, did he really lose his dime in the machine? And the little boy said, no, sir, I'm lying. Hey, So we found out he had no regard and no respect for us, but when I called on the name of Jesus, he said, "No, sir, I'm lying." And he took off running, and that fixed it. So you can't lie to Jesus, amen. You can't lie to the Lord. He knows our very thoughts before they're even perceived in our heart. Amen. We cannot try to live a lie unto the Lord. Amen. He knows us inside and out. So tonight I want to talk about some blessings of knowing the truth. Amen. How many is thankful for the truth? I mean, really thankful for the truth. Put your hands together tonight. If you're thankful for the truth, somebody took the time. Thank God. I was blessed on both sides of my family. Somebody took the time to tell me the truth, to show me the truth, and to show me in the Word of God. Amen. My granddaddy was a minister for a number of years, worked at the Goodyear plant, and he was having a conversation with a man, and it turned to basically ideology and what the Bible says. And my granddaddy had been telling him something according to the Bible, and the man said, "I just don't have that. I wouldn't believe that. I just can't accept it." My granddaddy always carried a little testament in his pocket, and he pulled a testament out, and the man said, "Nope, I wouldn't believe it even if you showed it to me in the Bible." Now, that's when you're on dangerous ground. Amen. You know, there's things here in the Bible, whether we agree to them or not, we still got to believe them because it is truth. But there are blessings, amen, to knowing the truth and living the truth and being in operation of the truth. The first thing that the writer says, we have the confirmation. I mean, who's ever heard that word, the confirmation, and love the word confirmation, because that means it actually puts a seal on it. We know without a shadow of a doubt. There was an old saying that we had said, when you know and you know that you know, then confidence replaces fear. Think about that. You know, you can tell some, and Daddy always told me, he said, if you tell the truth, son, you don't have to add anything to it or take anything away from it. You can always tell the truth. But if you're coming up with story after story after story, how many knows as a young child, it's hard to remember what you said the last time. So it will catch you. But the truth, amen, it is absolutely a confirmation through the infilling of His Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, He came in and He knew the truth there was about me. I couldn't masquerade my feelings. I couldn't masquerade myself. I couldn't tell Him I've been good or I've done this or I go to church or things like that, because He knew the truth within my life. And the wonderful thing about that, He knew me, yet He loved me. And in all of my sin and all of my ways of going about doing my own thing, then He loved me anyway, and He saw my real life, and the Holy Spirit filled me when I came to the knowledge of Christ, asked Him to be my Lord and Savior, and I started operating and living in the truth. And let me tell you something, folks. I began to sleep a lot better at night when I knew, when I said my prayers, I knew that I was talking to the Lord, who knew everything there was to know about me, and He still loved me anyway. But thank God for the confirmation that we have the truth. There used to be a good brother in the church, and he used to say, I believe this is the truth, and if it ain't the truth, I'm going to keep it till the truth comes. I don't have to wait till the truth comes. How many knows the truth has already came? It came on the cross of Calvary, amen. Thank God He bled and died for mine and your sins, and glory to God. When we ask Him to forgive us, how many knows that is the truth? He will forgive us if we have a broken and contrite spirit. If we come to Him acknowledging our faults, acknowledging our sins, we can ask Jesus Christ to be both Lord and Savior of our life. That is the truth, not according to Brother Eddie, but that is the truth according to the Word of the Lord. How many knows that we can trust the Word of the Lord? So confirmation is one thing that is actually the writer here talks about, being confirmed, our confirmation that we know through the infilling of His Spirit. Secondly, our heart is assured. There's assurance in our heart. Man, how many knows it's wonderful to know that when we close our eyes in sleep tonight, if we don't wake and see the dawning of another day, it's all right, because we know where we're going to spend eternity. You know, everybody can't say that. Everybody can't make that statement. There's a lot of folks today that when they go to sleep at night, they only hope if something happens to them that they'll wake up in glory. But how many knows it's good to have the assurance, amen, that we got a better place to go to? Glory to God. I'm so thankful. That's the reason that I try not to let so much down here worry me. I try not to let so much thing down here get me down, because I know that this is just temporary, or the Bible says temporal, but there's a better place. There's a place of a reward. There's a place of a glorified body. There's a place where there'll be no more sickness and no death, no sorrow, no more tears. And thank God, there'll be no more dying up there. It's going to be a wonderful place. And we have that assurance, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through redemption of our sins, amen, through the infilling of His Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us every single day of our life. What a wonderful assurance that is. It's so wonderful to know that we can trust in Jesus. So we have our heart is assured. That means we have a clean heart before Him. It is so good to be able to have that clean heart and clean conscience. Now, are we human? Yes. Are we subject to failure? Yes. Amen. And God knew that and knew that we could not, without that mediator, which is Jesus Christ, knew that we couldn't live a holy and righteous life. But thank God that Jesus within us helps us, leads us, and guides us, and gives us that sweet assurance. As the singer George Beverly Shea would belt out those words, blessed assurance. You know, so many times I think we listen to songs and we really don't grip some of the lyrics that is. But that is wonderful to know that as a saint of God, as a child of God, we have the blessed assurance. I've got the blessed assurance that regardless of what happens in this world, and I think we need to know that, because so many times we seemingly are more concerned about what's happening in this world than what we're going to receive in the next world that's going to come. Amen. The next place that we're going to take up our boat is not going to have these troubles and trials. And how wonderful it is and how comforting it is to know that we have that blessed assurance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The third thing that he mentions here, and I may not have them exactly in chronological order, but you can read the third chapter there, and it goes into great detail about the benefits of living and abiding in truth and operating in truth. And let me tell you something, folks. I know that this is talking about our relationship with the Lord, but can I just also tell you it is good practice to always practice truth. Sometimes truth is not easily received. Sometimes there's a saying that says the truth hurts. Amen. How many knows the truth hurt me? When I was sitting in church in an unsaved condition, the truth hurt me. Amen. It convicted my soul. It convicted my heart and let me know that I needed to make a change in my life. And I can't do it. Amen. I could try to make a change in my life and I'd still be trying. But when I gave it to Jesus, how many remembers that night or that day, whenever it was, when you gave it all, that heavy load, that heavy burden, all of that trauma, all of that fear, all of that anxiety, and thank God, all of that sin nature, we left it at the altar and we asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of our Lord and Savior, and it gave us freedom from condemnation. Praise God. Freedom from condemnation. When I stand before the judgment seat of God, I want Him to see the blood of Jesus applied to my life. That's what the redeeming factor is. Not how many times I went to church, how many times I read my Bible, what a good person I was, what a good dad I was, or a neighbor, or anything like that. All of that is wonderful moral things that we need to do and we need to accomplish in our life, but all of that alone will not save us. Amen, but the blood of Jesus Christ will. So it's good to know that we can have freedom from condemnation. What is that basically saying? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Amen. How many loves the word forgiveness? How many has ever been the recipient of forgiveness? How many has ever been the one who forgives someone else? Amen. You know, isn't that a clean feeling? Regardless of whether you're receiving it or whether you're giving forgiveness, it's such a cleansing process. And I remember the night that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I remember what a cleansing feeling that I had. The words wouldn't even come. When I first stood up and tried to testify about receiving salvation, I didn't really even know what to say. I just said, man, it's the greatest feeling in the world, honestly. You felt clean from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Amen. And the only reason you did is because the Lord had given you freedom from condemnation. Now, it doesn't matter what your neighbor says about you. It doesn't matter what your old running buddy says about you. But when you've been born again, how many knows you've been free from that condemnation? Glory to God. By the regeneration, by the washing away of those sins according to the blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know the truth. And understandably today, a lot of people don't know the truth. It's very confusing. I've had people, when we're witnessing to them, say, well, there's so many different ways. No, there's not. There really isn't. There's a lot of denominations. There's a lot of assemblies. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of congregations. But there's only one way according to the Word of God. Now, are you going to believe man or are you going to believe the Word of God? And the Word of God says it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know there's a movement to try to remove the blood because it sounds gory and all. But you can't remove the blood. If you remove the blood, there is no more atonement of sin. There is no more forgiveness. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. It took that cruel cross of Calvary. Amen. For him to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary so that I could stand here tonight and proclaim that I have been forgiven, that there is no more condemnation in my life, that I have been set free. The chains have fallen off of me because Jesus unlocked those chains when he saved my soul. Praise God. If you're glad for that refreshing, if you're glad for that infilling, if you're glad for that relationship with the Lord, let him know it tonight. Give him praise. Thank God for the truth, the freedom from condemnation, the forgiveness of sin. Also, the blessings of knowing the truth is faith and confidence in God. Faith and confidence in God. The Bible talks about it's better to trust God than man. It's better to obey God than man. And to have our faith. The Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That cannot begin to tell you how many times that I've had to stand on nothing more than my faith in a never failing God. Never failing. Never once has he failed me. If I put my faith and trust in him, I have the confidence of knowing that God is going to see me through every problem, every trial, every situation that I may encounter in my life. And folks, I cannot tell you how peaceful that is to know that whatever it is, whatever we face, amen, that we got faith and confidence in God. When you have faith and confidence in God, and God has always made a way, then why would we ever doubt him? Why would we ever mistrust the leadership of God in our life? This is such a blessing to know that we can have faith and confidence in God. So much so that the writer says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. It's an honor to keep his commandments. I remember growing up when mom and dad had a set rules of guidelines and things. And some of those were kind of easy to keep, but some of them were very difficult. Can I get an amen? Some of the things that you had to do, they wasn't the most pleasant things in the world. But they were things that were expected of us, and we had to do them. And some of the things that wasn't so difficult, we'd do those readily, but some of the others we'd kind of make an excuse and all. But can I tell you that later on in life, when Daddy used to have to threaten me to get me to do something, but I made the statement when I was grown and married, and I told them that I had so much love and respect for my dad that if he walked in my house and he told me to go and do something, I would do it not out of fear for him, but out of total and utmost respect for him. Because even though he had a set rule of a set of guidelines and rules and all that I had to adhere to, he was always faithful and he always was true. Amen. And he never asked more of me, amen, than I was able to give. And I respected that. And I said all that to say this: it is an honor, it is a pleasure for me to keep the commandments of my Lord and Savior. After all he's done for me, after where he's brought me from, out of the prayers that he's answered, out of the many times he's healed my body, he's healed my family, he's touched in this church, he's made a way, glory to God, he's blessed us beyond our measure. It is an absolute honor and a pleasure, amen, for me to obey the commandments of the Lord. Are some of them difficult? Yes, some of them are difficult and would be impossible, except I have a helper. I have the Spirit within me that's going to help me overcome every problem, every trial, every obstacle. And it is an honor to be able to say, Lord, I want to obey your word. I want to obey your commandments. I want to do what you say and not what man says that I must do. So it's a privilege and an honor to have faith and confidence in God because he can and will do whatsoever we ask. It also talks about a desire. It gives us a desire to please him. I'm talking a little bit about my younger days here, but it's so relevant here because of this particular Bible lesson here. But after I was in church and after I began to come up and want to testify. You know, we used to have testimony service quite regular in the Little Rock Mart Church, and it wasn't a big congregation, and I would listen to the elders testify. And I would hear them say things, you know, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me. I'm thankful for this. Sister Olene Forster, she was just thanking the Lord. And she said, I want to thank the Lord for letting me get my sheets off the line before it rained this afternoon. That's just the way they thank the Lord for everything. But without fail, almost every one of those elders always included, and I thank the Lord for the desire He gave me to serve Him. And I thought that was one of the things that you had to say when you was testifying, because to me it was just words. It really didn't have any meaning until later on when I got a relationship with the Lord. And it really is, I'm so thankful for the desire. Because we can look around the world today, everybody doesn't have the desire to serve Him. Everybody doesn't have the desire to be obedient to His commandments and to His Word and to live in the truth. Come on, it takes a little exercise. It takes a little effort to live in the truth of God, because it goes against our flesh so many times. It goes against our mindset and against our will. But how many knows it's better, amen, to obey God than obey the lust of the flesh? So if I thank God from the bottom of my heart that He gave me a desire to serve Him, a desire not just to live for Him and wait till He comes in, but honestly to live each and every day in a way that is pleasing unto Him. And I found out real quick that when you try to please the Lord, you're not going to be able to please everybody else. But isn't it more important to please the Lord? It's a lot more important. Of course, when I come to that judgment day, I want Him to say, "Enter in, thy good and faithful servant." I want Him to be pleased with my life, regardless if I was able to please others. So thank God for the desire to please Him. Not only to live for Him, but to please Him. You know how wonderful it is when a little child does something just to please their mother or dad. How sweet that is, and you just want to love them. Well, think about us as the children of God, and what an honor it is and what a privilege that we have the desire to please Him. And you know how we can do that? Truth and love going running together. Amen. We need to love one another. This, in fact, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is so much talking about love. Not only love for God, but love one for another. And in loving one for another, he mentions it here. Don't just do it with word or tongue, do it in deed. Amen. And our deeds that we do. When you say you love somebody, that's wonderful. But when you put it into motion, when you actually reach out and help someone, when you really kind of help someone through a very trying time in their life, and you love one another. Amen. Love them as the Lord has loved us. So a desire to please Him. How do we do that? By doing those things, according to the Bible, that please Him. That please Him. How many of us have a little bit of the Cain? You know, I think every one of us have a little bit of the Cain and Abel in us, in our personality. There's times that we want to be real, real sweet, but there's a Cain in us every once in a while. There's just a little bit of mischievousness in us, and especially us married men. And every once in a while, we know what pleases our wife, and sometimes we'll just want to be a little mischievous, and we'll do something that she doesn't really like. Come on. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, we'll just get her agitated, you know. But we'll quickly ask for forgiveness, very quickly. But we'll do those little things that agitate her, you know, every once in a while. But then we also know those little things that please her. Amen? Let me just throw one out. Flowers when there's no occasion. Come on, man, you really want to be lifted up in your household. Get her some flowers when it's not Mother's Day or anniversary, and first thing she's going to say, "What are those for?" And then you follow it up, say, "Honey, just because I love you, and that every day's a special day with you." Doing those things that please her. Now, if we can do that for one another, how many of us know that doing those things that please the Lord, amen, that's an honor and a privilege to glorify Him, to exalt Him, to praise Him, to lift Him up, not only in our church service, but everywhere that we go, lifting up the Lord, being that saint of God, being that righteous ambassador for the Lord, and doing and putting into practice those things that please the Lord. And if we can get that kind of response for doing those things one for another, think about how much our Heavenly Father loves us when we walk in righteousness and we operate in truth and we do those things that are pleasing unto Him. So it is a desire to please Him by doing those things that gives Him pleasure. The other thing, and this, if we're going in numerical order, this will be number six. True belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see, when you try to distort the truth, then it's never ending. Something else will creep in. Something else will try to wedge its way in. But the truth is the truth. It doesn't need any additives. It doesn't need anything taken away from it. The Word of God is truth. We don't need to add anything to it. We need to understand that what it says, it means. Amen? And we need to be obedient unto that. But true belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is a movement today, as long as you believe something. But I don't find that in the Word of God. We have to be explicit. We have to be direct in who and what we believe. Oh, but listen, you know, God is love, and God loves everybody, and God loves everything. As long as you believe in a God, or as long as you believe in some God. But folks, when you do that, you know, you're not just stretching the truth. You're absolutely distorting the truth. And we can't do that. Truth matters. There's a reason that we have to be direct. There's a reason that when we tell things, when we share things, we need to be direct. We don't need to repeat something unless we know that it has been verified. We don't need to listen to something unless we know that it is absolutely the truth. And how do we know the truth? The truth never changes in the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't change. So true belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior is so vital, so important. Because the Bible says there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. A Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is vital. It is important. It is the truth. Amen. And truth matters. The other thing that he talks about is loving one another. Loving one another. Not just in word, not just in tongue, but in deed. Truly loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And this is going to put forth a little effort on our part so many times. Because sometimes, how many knows, Jesus loved us when we were unlovable. I mean, He loved us, amen, when we were rotten in our sins. He loved us anyway. And we need to love one another. We need to comfort one another. And let me tell you something, folks. When we're witnessing to the lost and we become impatient with them, we think they ought to readily receive the plan of salvation the first or second time that we witness to them. How many of us have forgotten a little bit how long it took us, amen, to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ? How many times we turn down opportunities, we turn down invitations. So many times we grow impatient with others when we ourselves did not readily accept, and I'm speaking for myself, did not readily accept that relationship, amen, at an appointed time. Thank God that He was merciful. Thank God that He was long-suffering. Thank God that He gave me another opportunity. I'm glad that God is a God of second chances, aren't you? And third and fourth and fifth chances too, because I did not answer the calling when God first called me. In fact, I kept putting it off. I used every kind of excuse in the world. But you know what? He kept pricking my heart. He kept loving me. He kept having compassion on me. And I had that gentle calling from the Holy Spirit to come and release and give the Lord my life and ask Him to be Lord and Savior of my life. So loving one another is a vital, important part of truth, because truth does matter. When somebody tries to tell you, oh, truth doesn't matter, yes, it does. Certainly matters in salvation. But I also want to just encourage us to put it in our everyday application. Let's stay by the truth. Let's stand by the truth. Because you'll never have to apologize for the truth. Whether people receive it or not, you won't have to apologize for it, because it's the truth. But when you start stretching it, or when you start adding to it or taking away from it, or just saying things that you know, and that's what is so... I'm going to try to be very sweet tonight. I'm going to try to be very, very... non-political, but it absolutely upsets me sometimes when people spew things out of their mouth that they know that is not the truth. And that you know, truth matters, folks. Truth really matters. And I'm going to try to stay scriptural and in the Word of God tonight, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't need to state something unless we can verify it and know that it is true. So loving one another. And then finally, keeping and obeying His commandments. Amen. I talked about my mom and my dad, and I knew that, you know, the way that they had their, if you want to call them commandments, it wasn't, you know, I'm going to beat you half to death if you don't. But you respected it anyway. You did it. And it was stern. And listen to what I'm trying to say. It was stern. It was straightforward. But it came from a loving heart. You know, things like, I'm only teaching you responsibility. That didn't set well for a kid. But later on in years, how many is thankful that you had obligations, you had chores that you had to do? Because, and then they'd follow up, life, son, is not always easy. We found that out, didn't we? And we look back on it and we're so thankful for that teaching, because they was teaching us the truth. Amen. But they didn't just, or with my parents, they didn't just pound us over the head with it. They explained why you need to be able to do this, why you need to be able to clean your room, why you need to do these other responsible chores and all, because it's getting you ready for adult life. It's getting you ready for those responsibilities that you're going to have later on. And then my daddy, one of my favorite sayings that daddy had, son, money don't grow on trees. And I found out money doesn't grow on trees, you know. And I don't know what gave him the idea that I thought money grew on trees, because we had a lot of trees in our house and I'd never seen a dollar bill. If I had, I'd been climbing trees every day trying to pick those dollar bills up. But later in life, I knew what he was talking about. You know, when you're a kid, you think you can just spend. But then when you get adult, wow, it goes a lot easier than it comes. So keeping and obeying the commandments. And we ought to see it a privilege and an honor, too, to obey the commandments of our Lord. And I want to go to 2 John for just a moment and pick up. It goes right along with what he was writing here in 2 John, or in 1 John. And I want to begin in the first verse. We'll probably read down through verse 6. Just further validating how important it is that truth matters. Just listen to how many times the word truth is mentioned just in these 6 verses. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that ye, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. So here the writer John is further validating the importance and the necessity of operating in truth. Now leave us with this particular passage of Scripture from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Because just as there is mercy and grace and joy in living the truth and operating in truth, there's also some detriment if we don't obey the truth and if we don't live in the truth. And this is what happened in the book of Thessalonians, and it's an urgent warning for us today that if we turn from the truth, all these things would happen. And listen, verse number 11 and 12, and you can read the entire chapter if you want to at your convenience in chapter 2, but especially verse 11 and 12. Listen to what he says. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So all of the good benefits that we're talking about comes with the truth and love and them being synonymous, and that truth really matters. There are consequences if we don't obey the truth. There are detriment if we don't walk in the truth, as the Bible says here, to believe a lie and to be damned. And unfortunately, there's some false prophets in the world. Unfortunately, there's some false beliefs in the world. And still, unfortunately, there are people who are following after that. Why? Because they have itching ears and they want to hear the goodness. They want to hear this. They want to hear the ability to do and live any lifestyle whatsoever. But that's not the truth. That's not what the Bible says. And we have to practice the truth. We have to preach the truth. And certainly we have to live in the truth. God bless you tonight. We love you so very much. Miss seeing so many people, but we're glad that you're here tonight to come and be a part of this Wednesday night service. And we just continue to uphold those that are sick, those who have been devastated by this terrible, terrible situation that we're going through, and we constantly want to help them. And folks, this is a time for the church to really rise up. This is a time for the church to really, really reach out, because there's some people out there that's hurting. There's some people that's really, you know, at their wits' end, so to speak. And this is a time for us to reach out to them, not only spiritually, but physically as well, to help meet the needs. So let's continue to keep our ears and eyes open. If we see a need, let's bring it to the attention of the church and see if we can help in some manner or some way. God bless you. Thank you again for coming. If you would stand. We'll be dismissed with this prayer. And then those of you that have a special prayer request, if you would come after the service, and we'll bring that to the Lord. And I know we have some that's going to stand in for those that are sick, so we continue to ask you to remember those. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful, God, for the opportunity to come and worship you. God, we never, ever again want to take this for granted. Father, we've seen how fast that things can change in our life, and this is a privilege and an honor to be able to come into a house to worship you in spirit and truth. Thankful for those who gathered here tonight, God, and we desire their prayers, Lord, and we desire their companionship as we endeavor, Lord, to keep the truth, God, to walk in the truth, and to bless and to love those, God, that need help, and to reach out to those that are lost. And Father, I pray, God, that you would continue to strengthen us, give us peace, God, give us that faith to endure these things that are happening in the land, and put our faith and trust in you. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.